Welcome to the Safety Pro Podcast, where we help you manage workplace safety one episode at a time. And now, your very own safety pro, Blaine J. Hoffman.
Welcome to another episode of the Safety Pro Podcast. This is going to be a quick one. I wanted to get out over the holiday week. It's a short week, short 2 weeks actually for a lot of folks. I didn't want to miss an episode, so I usually try to cover or highlight some quick tools that I've used that have worked for me in the past that I think you can use in your daily work as well. So this is one of them. I'm going to touch on employee engagement, and we hear a lot about employee engagement, but you know, we don't really define some of the tools that we can use to either measure that engagement, and furthermore, after measuring engagement, actually, you know, what can we use to drive or increase engagement in certain areas? So I'm going to share some information with you that I have used in the past and with a lot of clients many times, and I continue to use it today. And the Gallup surveys are a real good source of information. And if you go to their website, you can read more about some of the work Gallup has done with workplace surveys. The one that really opened my eyes and started, you know, me down this path of saying, hey, I bet you we can use this for safety, not just workplace productivity, employee morale, things like that. And that is the 12 core questions, or 12Q, 12C. I've heard it called many different things. And what happened was I found this book, and it's on my recommended read list. It's top five books, easy. It's on my top five list. It's called First Break All the Rules. And I will have a link to it in the show notes, by the way, so you can grab a copy. But that book, it was a game changer. I'm just going to be honest with you. When I was getting into services as a consultant, you know, moving away from just your traditional safety consulting, which was looking at a safety manual, making recommendations for edits and tweaks to a written program, and doing some safety training for clients. And I moved into strategic development of safety processes, safety and health management systems, VPP, culture change, you know, that whole world of safety consulting. This book is what opened me up to the possibility that there was a whole world out there in the safety services industry beyond just doing 10s and 30-hour outreach training and writing some policies for confined space entry and fall protection. All good stuff that's still done today, that don't get me wrong, but it really propelled me into the next phase of my consulting career, which is strategic planning and development. And this book, First Break All the Rules, it really opened that door for me. But I had to make this connection between what the book was saying about business and industry and how I could tie that to safety. I had to make that connection. Once I did, I was starting to speak the language of business owners, operators, senior executives, and leaders in a way that I wasn't able to do as a, you know, traditional safety consultant, because I began to understand what they were facing in business and industry with retention, attracting, and developing the best people. And how can we use safety as one of those tools that we can use to attract and develop and retain the best employees? So, you know, I'm kind of dancing around the subject here, but let me get into the concept of the 12 core questions. You know, decades of research that Gallup has done and millions of survey questions they've asked companies that are successful, companies that are even mediocre or have failed, they've compiled these millions and millions of survey questions, and they've tried to determine, you know, what makes a company successful, what makes a leader or a manager successful, and they didn't find much commonality. However, they boiled down these 12 questions and identified these 12 questions as the core questions every manager should know. And every manager should strive to get affirmative answers to from their employees. And there are many ways to do it. So on one hand, they say there's no silver bullet as to what makes a fantastic or a superior supervisor. Everyone had their own style. And it was driven by the industry, driven by the region and the culture in that area of the world or of the country. But all of them touched on, in some way, shape, or form, one of these 12 questions in their own way. So it provides some structure, but then also allows the freedom for us to kind of explore the type of manager or leader we want to be, and allows us to use various tools to help our employees answer each of the 12 questions. So the questions are, there are 12, of course, but they're broken into chunks of three. And the book, First Break All the Rules, it compares the progression through these 12 questions, compares it to climbing a mountain. The first three questions are considered base camp one. So base camp is where we all have to start. It doesn't matter if we are senior workers from the industry that we just got hired in at another company and we've got 25 years under our belt. It doesn't matter. Once we move into that new role or a new company, we still have to be able to answer these three questions satisfactorily before we can advance through the next sets of questions. I hope that makes sense. The book does a really good job of illustrating this for you. But the first three questions are, number one, do I know what's expected of me at work? Basically, it's setting expectations. Now, in the traditional sense, in the business sense, you know, we're talking about, showing up on time, calling off, how to clock in, attire, all that good stuff. You know, HR covers some of this, supervisors cover some of it, but we can use safety to help satisfy this answer as well. Do I know what's expected of me at work? What PPE do I wear? How do I, get them replaced? How do I report a hazard? All that stuff is something that we can use to help get that employee to answer yes to, do I know what's expected of me at work? This basic, what do I do when I show up? How am I supposed to behave? How am I supposed to work? That's an important first question. The second question related, do I have the tools and materials to do my work right? This feeds into equipment, tools, PPE still, things like that. Safety can be used to help satisfy this question as well. And the third question before leaving this first base camp is, do I have the opportunity to do what I do best every day? And one of the things that we can do as safety professionals, we can say, hey, do employees have the opportunity to do what they do best every day? We can answer that by asking, what stops them from doing their work, their core scope of work, their trade? If they're a carpenter, a fabricator, a welder, an electrician, what stops them from spending the most time on that core activity when it comes to safety? Is it, we need better guarding to help, keep them working longer in that core scope? Do we need more PPE? Do we need more engineering controls, ventilation? Do they spend how many hours a day sweeping up and cleaning up between jobs? What can we do to capture some of that fugitive dust or scrap material? What can we do to make it easier? And all of those activities, by the way, introduce their own level of risk and increased risk. So, anytime an employee has to stop and clean up scrap material, based on the material, there could be additional exposures. We're accumulating waste. We have to then put it in a bin. That bin has to be emptied every 3 days, 2 days, once a week. Maybe we have to have somebody else come and get the, maybe we introduce a conveyor, a small conveyor, maybe a chute, a larger centralized bin that things go into. All of those things that forces us to ask, what is stopping employees from doing what they do best every day? And what can we do to fix that? How can we satisfy that? So that the answer they give us is, yes, I do. You guys do a great job of giving me everything I need and removing any possible barrier within reason that would prevent me from doing what I do best. The next three questions are, of course, after they have first been able to satisfactorily answer the first three. Now, number four, in the last 7 days, have I received recognition or praise for good work? Obviously, if we have morning meetings or a weekly meeting, you know, it's a good opportunity for the immediate supervisor to reinforce that first question of setting expectations, right? To reinforce, hey, good job keeping your area clean. Good job reporting that the bin was full. Good job, noticing that the PPE was wearing out and getting it replaced. Something, right? So safety, it's real easy to praise people for safe work. It reinforces why we're all here and what's important at the end of the day, and that is our safety. The fifth question, does my supervisor or anyone seem to care about me as a person? Again, going back to the previous question, safety can help satisfy this. What better way to show somebody that you care about them as a person than to send the honest and real message that you care about their personal safety? You care about the shape they come into work and go home. This is a basic human need. Anybody from any end of the spectrum, union, non-union, trade, management, engineering, all the way up to CEO, senior leadership, everybody can sit around the same table and have the exact same discussion about not getting ill or injured coming to work. Doesn't matter who you are. So safety is a huge employee benefit we can leverage. Number six, is there someone at work that encourages my development? Encouraging employees to put in a safety suggestion, work on a safety improvement project, working with engineering and learning more about machine guarding or something along those lines, that can help develop these employees. The more they know about whether it's basic regulations and building codes to, you know, sort of engineering practices, the better worker they become. We can really move a lot of that knowledge and information down to where the work happens, and they can begin to generate the best ideas on how to improve efficiency, quality, and safety on that job because they're the ones doing it. And so we can use safety to help answer this question for our employees as well. And again, we're talking about frontline supervisors. The most important relationship an employee has is with their immediate supervisor. We want immediate supervisors to know these 12 questions and to understand you can use safety to satisfy every single one of these. And guess what? HR can do the same thing. HR can ask of their silo, if you will, and of course we don't want silos, but you know, let's be real, it ends up happening that we create these silos. Safety's over here saying, scratching our heads, going, we need a perception survey, a safety perception survey. HR has their own survey they send out. Quality has a survey they send out. We're all competing, creating our own silos, competing for the attention and information from the same base of employees, the workers, when we can get together and use all 12 of these questions. So HR can use this to say, you know, is there someone at work that encourages my development? Well, what kind of career path do we build into this? How do we build steps or stages or development in this same role so they stay there longer, but it's enriching for them and satisfying for them, but the company benefits by having somebody in there longer, which we know increases quality and productivity and that capital knowledge of the job. You know, safety can do the same thing, but we need our immediate supervisors to look at these questions and think we can pivot on every one of these questions from safety to quality to HR. I mean, it makes sense, right? So, of course, I'm putting it in the safety context, but it works across the board. Is there someone at work that encourages my development? This could touch on safety. It could touch on the, you know, quality department and human resources. So once employees are comfortable at this next chunk of questions here, they can move on to 7, 8, and 9. remember, this happens in succession. You're going to struggle trying to satisfy question number 10 or 9 if 4 and 5 haven't been satisfied. So you have to go in succession, right? Number 7, does my opinion seem to count at work? The example here is of how, you know, you can't drive a suggestion program if at their core, number 4 and 5 and 6, they aren't getting that. They aren't feeling it. They don't think anybody is there that encourages their development. Their supervisor doesn't care about them as a person. And nobody's talked to them in the last 7 days or 10 days for that matter about their work. How are they going to feel comfortable voicing their opinion, raising their hands? How are they going to be able to say, yeah, my opinion seems to count at work? So that's the example. So does my opinion seem to count at work? Safety suggestions, having them in safety meetings for new work, helping review job safety analysis, annual lockout tagout procedures, getting them involved in those things where they actually get to drive the process and help write the process. Getting them involved in safety audits and cross audits of other departments, a weekly safety inspection, something like that you're basically saying your opinion counts. We want to hear what you have to say about this stuff. And number 8, are my coworkers committed to quality work? They're now looking outward. So they've looked inward the whole time up to this point at, it's all about me. Do I feel comfortable? Does somebody care about me? Has somebody given me feedback? Does my opinion count? This is the first time in this set of questions that they're starting to look at others to say, okay, I feel good. I'm in the right place. I care about why I'm here and what I'm doing. Do others? And this is critical. This is important. You want to drive good people away, have bad people around them. Plain and simple. So are my coworkers committed to quality work? If my coworkers don't care about safety, nobody's correcting them. It doesn't matter if I'm the teacher's pet and I'm getting all this development and praise and all of this attention. If all of my coworkers are not getting that, or they don't seem to care about the quality of their work, safety, or otherwise, I'm not going to stay very long. It's going to be uncomfortable. And number 9, does the mission of my company make me feel my job is important? Safety is one of the tools you can use to drive this one as well. Safety is about the how we do our job, just like quality. Yeah, we can make widgets all day long. We can sell boxes and boxes of widgets. Quality is how we do it. Safety is how we do it. It's that simple. The safety in our organizations addresses the how of our work. It is a tool we use to achieve that ultimate goal. Unless you're making safety in a can and selling it to your customers, you're making a product or a service that you're packaging and presenting to customers at a quality and a price that they're willing to pay for. How you create that product makes or breaks the company. The level of quality, efficiency, all of that drives how you can deliver this stuff on time, or drives the price up or down, and you can be competitive. The quality control systems you have in place and the safety management systems all touch that stuff. The more injuries you have, the stop work, the stopping the assembly line, stopping production, stopping the build to address safety issues. Somebody's injured and they're on light duty, modified duty, and you have to bring somebody else in, which means quality is probably going to go down, as well as efficiency and productivity. Safety is the how we keep this moving forward. Removing those risks, managing those to an acceptable level, eliminating them if at all possible, and keeping employees focused, mind on task, because they don't have these other distractions. They're not worried about that machine, getting their arm caught in a machine, or the face shield isn't there, and so I take extra time and care to do this task. You remove all those barriers, you get efficient work, consistent work, and quality work. They feel good about the work they're about to do because they know the company is looking out for them. So does the mission of my company make me feel my job is important? What message are we sending on a daily basis? when the supervisor in the daily meeting says, how many parts do we have? How many parts are we getting out today? Where, come on, guys, let's go. We got to get these parts out. And doesn't even ask about how is everybody feeling? Is everybody safe? The mission of my company has to make me feel my job is important. And then you can move on to the next set of questions, the last set. And this is where we're going 6 months, 12 to 18 months out. And this is where they're looking to make sure they fit in with the organization. One, do I have a friend at work? I'm using air quotes when I say friend. Do I have a friend at work? Somebody who says, hey, Blaine, how you doing? How are the kids this week? They know I have some kids. They know that you like fishing. They know that you like to work on cars on the side, that you have a business, help your brother-in-law with his auto body business, or I don't know, something that says, feeds into the one of the previous questions, somebody cares about me at work, is they build on that and you get to this 10th question of, I actually feel like I belong here. I am friendly with people. And then don't mix this message with, you know, getting into somebody's personal business. That's not what this means. This just simply means we're friendly with each other. We know a little bit about each other as people, which if you go through the 5 dysfunctions of a team program, which I highly recommend, by the way, you will see that understanding a little bit about each other helps build more cohesive teams, because it builds trust. So number 11, in the last 6 months, has someone talked to me about my progress? In the last 6 months. So they're looking for that feedback. So having an annual or a semi-annual or a quarterly safety meeting where we talk about the performance of the team or the cell or the job, this is a good way to say, you know, hey, here's how we are doing. And by way of safety and having a scorecard or some kind of metrics that we use to measure our performance, it's a great way to say, yeah, every quarter we go over our performance indicators, our key performance indicators, and you know we talk about how we can improve them. And the last question, in the last year, have I had the opportunity to learn and grow? Do we have an opportunity to go work in another cell? Do we have an opportunity to work on a new product, to go to another job, to help out in a pinch and then come back? I mean, are we leveraging the brightest that we have, you know, across the organization? And that helps them feel important. It helps them say, you know what, they value my opinion. I have the opportunity to do what I do best. This makes me feel my job is important. I'm an asset. And I've had the opportunity to learn and grow. One of these things we can do with safety is more training and development. Leadership safety skills, having them lead safety toolbox talks or safety meetings, leading a safety project, chairing the safety committee, getting on the first responder team. You know, there are so many opportunities in the safety realm that we can use to satisfy this 12th question. We have to strive to get positive responses to all of these questions. Every supervisor or manager, frontline or otherwise, should know what these 12 questions are. It's critical. And the decades of research and the millions and millions upon millions of survey questions that Gallup has poured through to identify these 12 questions being critical to business, you know, they're on to something. Why not use it? Download this one pager. I have it on, the link is in the show notes. I have a link to the book, First Break All the Rules, as well in there. I mentioned 5 dysfunctions of a team. I have a must-read list going on my webpage on thesafetypropodcast.com. There is a resource tab that you can go and look for resources and tools. These are all things that I've used, that I recommend, I talk about on the podcast. I'm continuously adding stuff to that, so check back there often. But these are all things that you can use. If you're a safety professional, a business owner, manager, supervisor, and you're listening to this because you obviously want some more information on how to better manage safety in your business, go to that resource page. These are all things that you can use, tools that you can leverage to be able to better manage safety, engage employees, and build teams and build that cohesive relationship that you need to have with your employees. Most of these are not like safety related tools. Lean Safety is a great book I recommend, but The Five Dysfunctions and Death by Meeting, those types of books are management tools, management books, but we run safety meetings, we run safety projects, we try to get committees up and running, we work on teams all the time. We need, as safety professionals, need to understand how to become better team members as well as team leaders. So, you know, running better meetings, things like that, they're all important. Setting safety and health goals and objectives, the journal I use to help me manage my projects every day, the 13-week roadmap, all these tools, you know, we're safety professionals, are managers and supervisors as well, like everybody else. So we need to start thinking that way. Get out of our silo. Stop, you know, lamenting the fact that, you know, supervisors don't get us. They don't understand safety. Well, our job is to take safety to them and put it in their language in terms that they understand and in terms that they use every day and integrate safety into their daily work, not stop all that which you know and drag them over to safety kicking and screaming so that they understand our pain. That's not what this is about. Safety, our job as safety leaders is to take safety to them and ask, how can we make it easier for you to integrate safety into your daily work? Do you do Gemba walks on the shop floor every morning and quality walks? What safety questions can we add to your quality walk that you're asking about quality issues and looking at the machines and the materials? Can we throw a couple of e-stop and guarding questions in there while you're standing there to help? It's got to be natural for them, and that's what our job is. So we need to be looking and reading the same books and looking at the same management tools that other managers are. And that's where I think we fail as safety professionals in my profession. We are failing in that we think we're special, and not in a good way. We think we're different, and we're not. We're not. We have the same challenges HR, engineering, quality, and supervisors have. It just so happens that our main focus is in safety and health management, but we're people. We manage processes. We manage other people that are engaging in, you know, using processes and machinery to produce products just the same. So we need to start including ourselves and inviting ourselves, kicking in the door if we have to, go to these production meetings and sit at the table and listen to what supervisors have to go through every day. Listen to what pressure they're under and what they talk about the most and say, and ask ourselves, how can I help that supervisor? How can I support them in their role? And that's when we start to make this shift, this pivot, as I did years ago, and start to understand how safety is a tool that we can use to get the job done every day. And you can start using their language, and you will become a huge asset to your organization, even more so than you are now. So I encourage you to look at these 12 core questions, talk to HR, talk to supervisors. If you're struggling with, okay, it's coming up on a new year, we need to come up with new perception survey, try some or all of these questions as part of your survey, your perception survey. Talk to HR and say, hey, what are you guys already doing to develop frontline supervisors in their people skills and management skills? And how can safety help? How can safety benefit from that? What can we leverage there? I encourage you to have that conversation. Check out the show notes. There are several links I'm going to put in there for this information. Go to thesafetypropodcast.com, check out the resources page, get started today improving the way you look at safety in business and becoming a partner in business and not just a department. We need to break out of that silo and start integrating ourselves with the overall business. We're all working towards the same goal. So that's my New Year's message to you, wrapping up 2017, going into 2018. I said I wanted to keep it short. Heck, this thing's probably as long as all of my other podcasts at this point, but it's a good topic. It's something I have used successfully for many years, and I made a pretty good career out of using these types of tools and taking these this approach that was much different than many colleagues, even today, that I still talk with in safety consulting or safety management. You know, this is a different approach, and I'm telling you, it will work. So let me hear your feedback. Email link is also in the show notes. Tell me what you think. What tools and tips or tricks do you have that you found effective? Heck, maybe if you want, I can highlight some of those and share with others as well on another episode. But I want to wrap this up. We're wrapping up the end of another great year. Looking forward to a fantastic 2018. I hope you are as well. And until the next Safety Pro Podcast episode, please be safe.